Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now, please enjoy our sermon at Church on the Hill.
Good morning. Nice. All right. Well, in the 2000s, a show began on TV. It tells the story of Tom Kirkland. Some of you may remember this story. He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And the story goes that whenever there's a State of the Union address, because all of the leaders of the United States are in one place, all in the Capitol building, there's one person held out to be the designated survivor. And it's usually someone fairly insignificant, like the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And the series starts with an explosion. Everyone's killed. Tom Kirkland is thrust into the presidency. He's challenged politically. He has to stabilize the country. I feel a little bit like designated survivor today. Completely unqualified to be here. And I've heard some of you say, hey, I heard you're preaching today. And I am not preaching today. I am hoping that I can lead us through the next step in our series. Okay? So that's where I'm coming from. Many of you expected to see Pastor Scott today. Look, there's space. Do you guys notice? There's space. I tried. I really tried. And I practiced my move. You know, when Pastor Scott wants you to remember something, it's usually something like, right? Did I do it? So I thought what I would do, since I couldn't do that, is I brought a prop. And so I figure, whenever I want you to remember something super important, I'll just do this. Okay? So we'll put those right here for now. All right. Hopefully don't fall off or break anything. So it's still here when he comes back next week. All right. We are continuing in our series, Get It. We had a week hiatus. Oh, wait. I see Eric in the back. Eric, can I do this for the Instagram? You guys all follow Koth on Instagram, right? Right? All right, he's got it. All right, good. So if you don't, you should, because there's a lot of good information on there. Anyway, get it. And as you remember, we're going to do a little recap. Scott told us about the inspiration of Get It. It was a neighbor who had a life transformation. Someone he had seen perhaps with, not questionable, but he wasn't quite sure where this person stood in their Christian walk, or if they even had a Christian walk. And one day they approached him on the sidewalk as he was taking a walk with the dog, and a conversation ensued that eventually led to a two-hour conversation about this person's transformation. And at the end of that 2 hours, he said, wow, this person gets it. Now, he didn't tell us who that person was, and if you're in this audience today or if you're listening online, I just want to say thank you. Because you inspired a message that I think affects all of us. Because, pop quiz, what is it? Anybody can say it. What is it? He said, we're going to get it. You get it. Anybody remember what it is? I don't want to just stand here all night, so I'll just wait. What is it? Okay, we need a review. Perfect. All right, so it is a joyful daily relationship of intimacy and obedience with Jesus, right? That was the it. And Scott reminded us that some people get it and some people don't. Some people, unfortunately, will never get it. And others want it, but they don't know how. And so the concept of discipleship came to mind, right? Because this person wanted more. This person got it and wanted more. of a relationship, a daily relationship, intimacy and obedience to Jesus. And the question came up, how could we lead someone through that? Are we doing the things to get us to that point as well? And so he presented, I think it's on this, yep, he presented to us a model. And he said, he said it's a model, not the only model, but it's a model. It's the navigator's wheel. And we'll go through that in just a second, but we've talked about Christ at the center, and we've talked about the result of having Christ at the center, obedience. And so this week, we're going to begin our trek down the spokes. What are the things that connect us? Before we get there, though, I like to think, you know, sometimes I realize I do too much of this sometimes, but I start breaking things down. So what is a disciple? Or what's an apprentice? And we talked about being an apprentice of Jesus, right? So what is an apprentice? Well, he talked about electrical apprentice and how it's really good to know what you're doing before you touch the electricity. I remember that one. And he talked about a plumber's apprentice. This is Scott talked about that. And how it's you don't want to chew on your fingernails going home. I remember that visually. And he's talked about in the early days in the Jewish community, there were rabbis, and these young men would become apprentices to these rabbis, and they would learn from them, emulate them, eventually, ideally, to become a master as well. Is an apprentice the same as a disciple? Pretty much, but I think there's a nuance, and I just want to point it out. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but disciple comes from the Latin root discipulus, which really means pupil. It's a learner. Some of you know I work in medicine, and for me, we always talk about lifelong learning, right? The thing I like about using the word disciple is in today's age, we often think about an apprentice as being someone who's learning a skill, a trade, eventually to become certified, eventually to become a master. But what we don't usually mean when we talk about apprentice is someone whose life is becoming transformed to be like that person. And so I'm going to use the word disciple a little bit more, even though we kind of mean the same thing, because I think the nice thing about disciple is it doesn't mean just men, right, for one. It doesn't, whether you're 5 or whether you're 95, they're still learning to make us more like Jesus. There's still transformation. And I don't know about you, but I will never be as good as the master. I will never exceed the master. And so there's always something to get better at. So that's why I think disciple is a nice way to look at this. All right. Let's talk about the navigator's wheel a little bit. Hopefully it's up behind me or it's getting there. Who knows? I don't know. You know what? If this doesn't go well, you don't have to ask me back. It's okay. I totally get it. But this is not about me. This is about us, and this is about the words of the Holy Spirit. So, true or false? A disciple adds Christ to his life or her life. True or false? Okay. If you will remember, technically, what Scott said was a disciple puts Christ at the center of his or her life, not just additive, right? In other words, Christ becomes the focus at the center. Trick question, just wanted to play with, but it's a recap, right? It's a recap. And then the verse that went with that was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here, right? We become a new person with Christ at the center. Week 2, we talked about obedience. We talked about the result. We talked about understanding that the Holy Spirit is with us, and the power of presence helps us to become obedient. And the verse for that was John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And Pastor Scott challenged us all to meditate on those all through the weeks. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm going to give us all a break. But this is week three. So now we're going to begin to connect those things, right? There were four spokes on that wheel. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. And our verse for today is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is kind of the verse that goes with that. And what I will hope you'll dwell on this week, which is don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The thought for today is that transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change us. That quote is from a book, Practicing the Way by Mark Comer. What's prayer? What is prayer? What does it mean to you? Shout something out. What does prayer mean? Talking to God. Requests. Requesting to God. Praising. Giving thanksgiving. That's all of those things, right? It's interesting. Prayer, in Latin, the root was prex, P-R-E-X, or press, P-R-E-C, which later became the root of the word precarious, right? And we think today, precarious, you're in a dangerous situation, but what it really meant was depending on the will of another. Eventually, the French, P-R-E-I-E-R-E, prayer, I'm not even going to pretend, for you, and became prayer in English. And it is. It's a solemn request or help, an expression of thanks. It's an invocation. It's a voicing or an act of deliberate communication to build rapport. That's what prayer is. That's what we are doing. And so my objectives today are actually to help us identify four types of prayer so that we can figure out where we are. I want us to understand why it's important, explore some of the components, and then ask you to determine what you'll do next, okay? All right. So, can I ask, where are you today? And we're all in church. And what I mean by that is, where are you emotionally and spiritually? Are you broken? Yes, we are all broken to differing degrees, right? We're all broken. But there's a continuum there. There are different circumstances in our lives that affect us at different points in our lives. What is your prayer situation today based on where you are in your life? And I want to offer four ideas that will help us assess where we are so we can do something about it later. Okay? The first one is the starter. Okay? What is a starter? A starter is someone who's new, right? A starter is someone who lacks experience praying. A starter may say things like, let's say grace, and basically do things out of duty. Let's do bedtime prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it probably lacks a certain depth at this point. That's okay, we can get to depth. Are you a starter? Do you want to do more prayer, but you're not really sure you know how, and so there's a lack of confidence, perhaps, even, in just a base level. Are you a skeptic? A skeptical prayer. I would like to share the words of a great lyricist in our day and age. I only talk to God when I need a favor. I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. Who am I? Who am I to expect a savior if I only talk to God when I need a favor? That was the great Jelly Roll. Proving to my community group that country music and Christianity can coexist. That was my goal there. No, I'm not making fun of Jelly Roll at all. That's part of a larger story of his. But skeptics often find themselves saying things like, I tried it and it didn't work. God is disappointed with me. I'm a disappointment to God, or God has disappointed me. And this also often comes from a place of shame, pain, impatience, not getting what we wanted. And it can be it can be a bit debilitating to be in the skeptic's role. Are you a slacker? Slackers have great intentions. Slackers make New Year's resolutions every year about how much they're going to pray. Are you a slacker? I have been. When do New Year's resolutions fail? 2 weeks. 2 weeks into the new year, most resolutions fail, more than 90%. You remember Scott has brought this up before. Quitter's Friday is the second Friday after New Year's. Most things fall apart, right? Slackers are well-intentioned, but they don't act. They don't put a plan in place. They don't initiate a model. Or they get lazy, right? We've been there. Things are going well. Why do I need to pray? We all pray when things are really bad. But when they're going well, do we continue to give thanks? Do we continue to pray? That's where, I mean, honestly, I think that probably all three of these have resonated with people. I know I have. There's an arrow out to the side of that in your notes. Why? Because it's kind of a continuum. It's not unusual to kind of fall back and move forward. The fourth is the seasoned prayer. Pray, let me say that again. The seasoned prayer, right? The seasoned prayer is someone who will walk up to you and say, you know what, I've been praying for you. God has you on my heart and I've been praying for you. You didn't ask it. You're not even sure you know their name. But they say things to you like that because they're watching. They're listening. They'll say things like, I miss something if I don't pray. Like the day just doesn't feel right if I don't pray. Or they say things like, you know, I feel like God is leading me to. And in an authentic way, not a showy way. They're like, God is leading me to XYZ. Because no matter where they find themselves, prayer is so much a basic practice to their day-to-day life that their hearts are in alignment with God. So where do you find yourself? Hopefully one of those resonates with you. And there is no judgment, no matter where you find yourself. Perhaps you're in one spot, but you've been in another. I've been in all four of those places at one point in my life. And it's sometimes easy. I mean, seasoned prayers, don't get too confident. It can be easy to slide back, right? But then hopefully you feel it, you recognize it. So if we all come with pain and shame and crises and circumstances, if we all come with good things in our lives too, and we all are at different places in our prayer lives, where do we want to be? What's the ideal? Well, the ideal is to be seasoned, of course. But how do we get there? What does the Bible say about this? What does Jesus say about this? I'm going to invite you to go ahead. You can turn to Matthew 4. Everything is in the notes there. And Jesus starts, if you will remember, for those of you who were here when we did our flawed follower, Renee Scheffler's book, Flawed Follower, we talked about Peter's life. He was not perfect. He backslid. He learned. He was an apprentice to Jesus. He was a disciple, eventually an apostle. But his life was not perfect. But you remember that God's calling, Jesus' calling, was simply two words, or three, depending on the version of the Bible that you have in front of you, NIV or whatever, and it is, follow me. It was an invitation. It wasn't believe in me. It wasn't heal someone and then you're one of mine. It was just follow me. It was that simple. Follow me. Do what I do. Learn to speak how I speak. Think how I think. And that's where it started. And then Jesus began to do things, show things, say things that gave us an indication of where we should be in our prayer life, right? He gave us a model to follow. In medicine, you guys know, again, I've said it before, I'm in medicine. I use a lot of adverbs. Who, what, where, when, why, how. think I forgot one. And you guys will recognize it because if you've ever been to see your doctor or whatever provider you went to see, you know, they say things like, well, what happened? Where does it hurt? How long has it hurt? When did it begin to hurt? What were you doing when it started to hurt? Why do they do that? Because it builds a picture, right? So I like to use adverbs to build a picture. I also had the opportunity, so we're going to use adverbs, but I also had the opportunity the other day to attend the Global Leadership Summit. Nick Saban was one of the guest speakers. If you know Nick Saban, he's often talked about a process-driven strategy. And so I just want to tell you what a process-driven strategy is. For him, the process-driven strategy is you figure out what your goal is. So in this case, our goal would be a daily relationship of intimacy and obedience to Jesus, right? That's where we want to get. But you have to do the things to get to that goal, right? And you can't control when you'll get there or how fast you'll get there, but you can control daily what you do to get there. That's what you have control over. And so what I want to do is kind of take a little time to look at the process. So first, who do we pray for? This is not in your notes. I'm calling an audible. I didn't actually even mean to reference Nick Saban and call an audible, but I did. For those of you who don't know, Nick Saban coached football at Alabama for a long, long time. I'm going to call an audible, and we're going to talk about who. So I'm going to ask you to just write who in your notes, right above, right at the very beginning. There's a small space. Who do we pray for? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why do we pray for our enemies? Why would Jesus start here? One thought is that this was a time of great conflict. It's a good thing we're not in a time of great conflict right now, isn't it? No, it's a great conflict, right? The Samaritans and the Jews weren't getting along. The Jews and the Romans were in conflict. Gentiles and Jews were in conflict, right? There was a lot of conflict in that time when he was talking with his people, the Jews. So starting with praying for enemies makes you think that probably Jesus wasn't, he wanted the people who represent him to love enemies, right? How can you hate the world and still proclaim Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the Jews that he gave his only son. Nope. For God so loved those who pray to him. Nope. For God so loved everyone, the world, that he gave his only son. Yes. Right? So praying, you can't save the world if you hate the world. And people of prayer have to be people of love. If we're going to represent God, God is love. All right, that's the who. Let's talk about where do we pray. That's the next one. Where do we pray? And let's read this one together. And when you pray, this is Matthew 6, 5 through 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Where do we pray? In secret, free from distraction. What is a hypocrite? It's interesting. The word hypocrite actually has a Greek root. And it sounds, and it's pronounced, it's spelled in Greek, and it sounds a lot like hypocrite. Anyway, it hasn't changed a whole lot, but it literally means, it's an actor or a stage player, and translate to an interpreter underneath, because it was referring to the masks that people wore when they were acting. That sounds familiar, right? That's how the word has transpired into people who are acting like something they aren't. What do stage actors, what's their reward? Applause, yeah. Woo! That was awesome. Fantastic. And that is their reward. There's a lot of emphasis on what is seen. And it's God sees what's done in private. God sees what you do free of distraction, free from the crowds. He sees your heart. And he rewards it. What does he reward it with? Peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. He rewards it with intimacy, communication, assurance. So does that mean, so let me ask you this. Do you need to go into a closet or shut your door every time you pray? I don't. I admit it, I don't. But what I do try to do is have a place that's free from distraction, right? That's the point. Pray in secret, free from distraction, free from outside influence. Scott, Pastor Scott has talked a lot about his place, right? Do you guys remember where it is? It's in his living room. And there's a chair, and his journal is there, and his Bible is there. And he usually starts with coffee because he loves coffee. And so he combines coffee and his prayer time, and he gets up every morning when it's quiet, free of distraction. Do you have a place like that? Some of you are nodding. Yes. Probably some of you aren't. Recently, my place actually has been, I'm trying to combine two things that are beneficial, walking and praying. And it's interesting, I actually think better when I'm walking, as evidenced by the fact that I'm walking across the stage lot. But it's a time early in the morning when essentially no one is out where I can just walk. I usually have my, for you non-Apple people, the Echo Buds. For all you Apple people, it's AirPods. But I usually have music going in my ears. It starts with music, starts with God's word, reading it through the YouTube app, and then it turns to prayer. That's my time. It's about 30 minutes every single day, and I'm walking. I'm free of distraction, except for a couple cars that walk past. I'd like to do even better, but that's a good. It's a good place to start for me, and it's been my place. And so, again, I ask, do you have a place, literally, where you can go and talk to God in private? It's really about silence and solitude and the personal nature of prayer. Because here's the thing, we live in a very noisy and distracting world. My phone is out because I wanted to read the Jelly Roll lyric, but I happened to notice that it lit up a couple of times already. It's always happening around us all the time. So if we don't take some time to be alone, we're not going to connect. We're going to be transformed. We're all being transformed all the time by something, right? And if we don't find silence and solitude and quiet the other voices, those are the things that are passively going to transform us. So who do we pray for? Our enemies. Where do we pray? We find a time daily to be in prayer alone. God gave us so how do we pray? And God gave us a model. Let's read through this a little bit. This is again from the Sermon on the Mount. And it starts in verse 7 of Matthew 6. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. What's babbling? What's a babbling brook? Describe it. You can shout it out, please. I feel very alone right now. Just shout out some things. What is a babbling brook? What does that conjure up to you? What do you hear? You hear noise, right? It's a continuous noise. It goes on and on. Yeah, it's a rippling noise. It's kind of incomprehensible. When you say that someone is babbling, what do you mean by them babbling? Yeah, they're not making sense, right? They're just foolishly going on. It's not who they really are. They're just going on and on and on. They're trying. Basically, the concept is we're trying to wear down God. Now, that's not persistence. Persistence is, God wants us to ask, and we need to wait sometimes. But it's more about trying to wear God down with our fancy speech and things like things we wouldn't normally say. So don't go on and on like this. I'm actually not going to. I'm afraid that I might offend somebody if I do, because I know that some of us do babble at times. I know I have babbled at times. I know I have been the Father God. I love you, Father God, and I just I think. Father God, if you would just do this thing for me, Father God. And I'm going on. I don't speak like that. I just say, God, what do you have for me today? That simple, right? God, what do you have for me today? Don't babble. The second thing is, he gives us a model in the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that Renee Scheffler, again, from Flawed Follower, told us that the first thing he does every morning is he says the Lord's Prayer. Why? You remember why? Because it's a model. It's a model. Let's take a look at the model real quick. All right. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. What if you said my Father in heaven? In other words, this is personal. Hallowed be your name. What does hallowed mean? Holy, right? So it's kind of the recognition that this is not only personal, but this is a holy time, a time of reverence between us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of us start by asking God what he wants? If we trust him to be at the center of our lives, what does he want? What does he want for us? We can be literal and say, your kingdom come, or we can say, What do you want for me today? What do you have in store for me today? How can I listen to you today? In other words, if you're praying this prayer, it's likely that you are a saved Christian. You know you're going to heaven. But what if God's will is done in heaven, is there a way we can get a little bit of heaven inside of us as we pray? That's kind of the idea. Then ask for what you need. It doesn't say ask for what you want. It says ask for what you need. Give us today our daily bread. Bread. It was a need. A physical need. And the idea being that we live in dependence to God every single day. Right? Recognize that. And then finally, keep a clean slate. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In other words, ask that the grace that God provides you, that you are able to match with others as well. And finally, in this model, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. In other words, ask for the power to avoid the temptation or avoid the sin in the first place. I got news for you. It's going to come. Temptation is going to come every single day. You are a Christian. That is Satan's MO. He is coming after you. He is going to trick you. He's wanting to trick you. He's wanting to deceive you. It's going to come. So let's start the day, maybe, or let's start our prayers by asking for the power to recognize it and refute it. Finally, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. In other words, a lack of forgiveness is really a hindrance to prayer. So we need to pay special attention to that. Finally, when do we pray? So we've talked about who do we pray. Who do we pray for? We talked about where do we pray. We talked about how do we pray. When do we pray? This one is easy, all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, two words, gets its own verse. Pretty important. Pray continually. The whole passage there is actually Paul's final instructions for the church in Thessalonica, where he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, not some, all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All the time, in every situation, connect with God. His purpose for you, on behalf of someone else perhaps, when situations are stressful and when situations are good. Prayer is a daily habit. It's one of those rhythms that Jesus did. He demonstrated for us. He showed us how. He modeled it because it connects us to the heart of God. And that leads to transformation. So I want to finish out here by reading something for you. It's from a book called Prayer, Finding the Heart, Finding the Heart's True Home by Richard Foster. And it plays to the why we pray. The key to this home, this heart of God, is prayer. Perhaps you have never prayed before except in anguish and terror. It may be the only time the divine name has been on your lips has been in angry expletives. Never mind. I am here to tell you that the Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps you do not believe in prayer. You may have tried to pray and were profoundly disappointed, disillusioned. You seem to have little faith or none. Doesn't matter. Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome in. Perhaps you are bruised and broken by the pressures of life. Others have wronged you and you feel scarred for life. You have old pain, painful memories that have never been healed. You avoid prayer because you feel too distant, too unworthy, too defiled. Do not despair. The Father's heart is open wide. You are welcome. Perhaps you have prayed for many years, but the words have grown brittle and cold. Little ever happens anymore. God seems remote and inaccessible. Listen to me. The Father's heart is open. You are welcome to come in. Perhaps prayer is the delight of your life. You have lived in the divine milieu for a long time and can attest to its goodness, but you long for more, more power, more love, more of God in your life. Believe me, the Father's heart is open wide. You too are welcome to come in. You too are welcome to come higher and deeper in. If the key is prayer, the door is Jesus Christ, and how good of God to provide us a way into his heart. He knows we are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. He has provided a means of entrance, Jesus Christ. What are your habits? What are your rhythms? Christ at the center, daily living in relationship, intimacy, and obedience to Jesus. Got to do something to get there. Prayer is one of those habits and rhythms. I think the band is going to be coming up here pretty soon. I completely forgot to do my dumbbells, but I'm going to do it right now because this is important, okay? And I'm really actually not being silly. I just want you to remember. I want you to think about this. I want to invite you to a 4-week challenge with me. I'm asking you to hold me accountable too. It's in your notes. So do you have a desire to get it? I'm going to ask you to take your notes when you go home. Maybe even here while the band is playing in the background. And I'm going to ask you to assess where you are. This is getting hard, by the way. That's okay. It's going to be hard for you too, but I'm going to stick it through. I want you to assess where you are. I'm going to assess where I am. What's the current situation? Will you commit to follow Jesus and practice and develop a rhythm of prayer? Where? Name it. Where's the place? Where's your secret place? Where's your quiet place free of distraction? Write it down. If you already have one, write it down. If you don't have one, write one down. You can change it later, but write one down. Be specific. How are you going to pray? Is there some missing component? Can you go back to the Lord's Prayer? Go back to the notes. Go back to the things we talked about. What can you add? When will you pray? Be specific. 5:42 a.m., I will initiate my walk through my neighborhood. It's actually a little early for me. But the point is, be specific. How often will you do it? Will you do it every day? Are you only doing it once a week? Are you doing it once a month? Do something more. Just do something more than you're doing currently. Write it down. And then, who are you going to tell? That's the last thing. Who are you going to tell? Got to tell somebody. This is like a workout program, right? I mean, it really is. It's a spiritual workout program. These are the challenges, the practices, and the rhythms that we do every day. When you do a workout, you need somebody to help you. You need somebody to inspire you. You need somebody to tell, somebody to keep you accountable. Who are you going to tell? Tell somebody. You can tell the person next to you. Most of us come here every single week. You might not even know the person next to you. Introduce yourself, right? And say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Next week, I want you to ask me about it. But tell somebody. I invite you to take that 4-week challenge with me. And I'm going to invite the band on stage, and we're going to sing. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your model of how we should live. We thank you that we have an opportunity to live daily and joyfully in relationship with you, a relationship that's intimate and a relationship where we obey you. Lord, we thank you for very practical ways that we can experience this. We thank you for demonstrating the where, the who, the how, most importantly, the why. Be with us all this week, Lord. Let your words resonate through everybody this week. Help us to speak them to each other. Help us to engage with you on a daily basis. At least something different. Help us to become seasoned prayers who delight in communing with you every single day. Lord, give us the strength to begin to make steps toward that so we can fully experience you in prayer. In your name we pray. Amen.